Welcome to Read It Reddit. Sorry for uploading late LMRO, we will be reading from r/petty revenge. Our first post is by Ren Lobo. One day back in the late 90s, my mother tells me she has been getting phone calls between 2 and 4 a.m. every day for a week. She says she hears a strange noise when she answers it. I realize it's a fax machine. So I bring my computer over to try and figure out who the hell it is. I set up the computer to receive the fax and spend the night. In the morning I pull up the fax on the computer and it's for some paving company. It's a bill for a private school in town. So I call the paving company and tell them they have the wrong number and to stop faxing my mother at 3 a.m. The guy gives me attitude and hangs up. I leave my computer just in case. Next day same crap with the fax. This time though it was an advertisement. WTF. So I wait until after they are closed for the day and send them a fax back. It says stop faxing my mother at 3 a.m. at XXX phone number, then 200 pages of solid black to make sure and run out all the toner in the cartridge. Never got a call or fax again. Never mess with my mom. Our next post is by Relo V. As a teen I was the bad kid in school that always lipped off to the teachers and had a huge chip on my shoulder. I wish I could go back and treat people differently, but I can't. In 7th grade I was really into skateboarding, smoking cigarettes, skipping class with my friends, etc. When I did go to class I was disruptive at best. My music teacher, old Mrs. Greener, had tried everything to get me to just shut up and leave her class alone. Meetings with parents, detentions, extra homework, she tried it all. Or so I thought. Every day in between classes there would be announcements on the loudspeaker. What's for lunch, sporting events coming up, academic achievements, whatever. On this day, the assistant principal was listing the 7th grade students of the month for different categories: math, science, critical issues and the student of the month for music studies is my name. I froze in the hallway, sure I was just hearing things. Then my friends starting finding me in the hallway, just roasting me for being such a good boy, teacher's pet, etc. I went to music class that day, and, with the biggest shit-eating grin on her face, Mrs. Greener had the whole class stand up and give me a round of applause for being such a great student in her class. I don't believe I've ever been more embarrassed in my life. Even at 12 I knew what she was doing, and that she had just completely owned me. I behaved the rest of the year in her class and I like to think that taught me a lesson. Edit, AIIIII my first gold. Thanks. Our next post is by Gecko_Mama. When I was 17 to 18 years old, I got my first retail job. I worked at a children's store that does ear piercings. I'm sure you all know which one. I started when I was 17, and shortly after turning 18 I was given a key holder position. I was thrown into the position with practically no instruction and absolutely no training. I did my best, even though I made mistakes, and I was actually doing fairly well. Time passes, I get back from a sleepover, and my mother informs me that, while I was gone my grandfather had passed away. Now, I worked just 2 hours after I got the news, so I went in still struggling not to cry my eyes out. At any second the first thing I see is the store manager standing there, looking annoyed. She takes me over to a bench out in the middle of the mall and sits with me and starts telling me about all the things I'm doing wrong, all things I hadn't been trained on. While I mostly just blankly stared at her and tried not to cry, I wasn't taking any of the information in at all. I was just too upset. Eventually she noticed and asked what was wrong, and I broke down and started sobbing and told her. I then asked if I could go home, as I didn't think I could work efficiently with this news. She told me absolutely not, and she left, leaving me completely alone in the store. Now, for context, the store sold these stuffed animals called Beanie Boos. They also had giant versions that were about $40 to $50 a piece, I think. It's been years since I worked there, but anyway, some lady walked in and decided to buy 4 of those, and was ready to pay. When I told her about a store close by that sold them for a cheaper price, she thanked me and left, Having not bought them, so there was my revenge for being rude and uncaring about his death. Then, shortly after, I found out from a friend and fellow keyholder that they had not only accused me of stealing a few dollar items, which I had not done, but they had also accused me of lying about my grandfather's death to get out of trouble. So, in a fit of fury, I called up the manager from before, told her I quit, shut the store down 2 hours early, and went home. Probably lost them about $500 in total sales that day, and proud of it. Point, I know it's not much in the grand scheme of things, they make millions, but it made me feel better. I now have a picture of my grandfather hanging where I used to hang my store keys. Our next post is by Ted Case. Short background: I work for an education company providing supplementary classes to rich kids. I just quit after 2.5 years 2 weeks ago. My company asked me to deliver a history course. No problem, says I haven't taught history in a while, so I'll need some time to prepare the course, but otherwise, sure, happy to. Don't worry, says my company, we have prepared the material for you, you just need to teach the class. It starts tomorrow, thanks. F**k. So I look at the material. It couldn't be more useless. Just a couple of pages photocopied from some random Billy H5 guide to history book, random shit picked up with no coherence. I'm fucked. I then spend the next few nights making a complete 2-week course on WW2, planning the course as I teach it. The plan involved going through all theaters and major events of the war from start to finish. Lots of interactive maps I made on Blender, video clips from movies, lesson plans, etc. Quite proud of the result. It's only a 2-week course, so I can have a good beginning, middle and end. I completed the course on Friday, coincidentally my last day at the company. Kids are happy, I'm happy. Well done everyone. Just got a message from the company on Sunday night, just now, asking me for the material for the third week. The third week of a 2-week course. Now that I have left, they want to keep the course running, because it went so well. So I sent their random textbook pages back to them. You're welcome. Our next post is by Celine26. A little background: I recently got out of a very abusive relationship, and have since cut ties completely. I haven't yet had a good opportunity to be petty about it, but oh, how the gods grace me tonight. I got a notification that the VPN we shared was charged to my bank account. I had completely forgotten about it, and suddenly inspiration struck. I basically said, cool, I paid for it, it's mine. Side note, I've always been the one to pay for it, because I fully supported both of us while he played video games all day. So I go into the account and change all the information. This means it will no longer work at all for him, so say goodbye to that sweet private internet access you've been enjoying on my dime. I know it's small and petty, but it feels so good to get back at him in a way I know won't actually hurt anyone. Our next post is by Asabo13. My friend and I were in Tesco food shopping. As we turned into an aisle, there was a man with his trolley stretched across the aisle, blocking it, and an elderly lady asking him politely to move. He ignored her, then snapped back, quote, you can wait at her. She simply turned around and went back down the aisle away from him. As we shopped, we saw this same interaction a couple more times. Now, we don't know the details of how it started, but this man was deliberately seeking the old lady out and blocking her way. As we turned into the biscuit aisle, about 2/3 of the way down was the man with his trolley behind him, engrossed in the biscuits. As we approached, I looked at my friend and gently pushed my trolley forward and in front of her. She immediately gripped the trolley handle and I walked up to his trolley, gripped the handle, and we were off. We didn't rush, got to the end of the aisle, and turned into another aisle. We took his trolley, very full, to the far corner of the store and left it. When we reached the checkout, we told the cashier we had seen an abandoned trolley in the far corner, didn't want good food wasted / going off. I just wish I could have seen his face when he turned round with his packet of biscuits to find his trolley gone. Update, an award. Thank you, update, more awards, thank you so much. Our next post is by Polite Gordon Ramsay, various edits, I made a great many spelling mistakes, so this isn't really a massive revenge, but it takes place at my great-grandmother's funeral, Vera. It's one of my fondest memories. All the names in this will be fake. This story takes place in 2016, so my great-aunt Karen is absolutely horrible. She brags about how stingy she is. She paid for her daughter's wedding, the altar was on wheels, and tries to constantly bring others down. She was always horrible to Vera, when she was alive, and when she died, let's just say she died at 8, the house was cleared out at 9, on the market at 10, and the first viewing was booked for 11:30. At Vera's funeral, which she planned, she refused to let my mother sing, which was odd, because she wanted my cousin, her grandson, to do a reading. The day of the funeral, he said he didn't want to read and all was well. Here comes the revenge. Now my family are all trained singers. This includes granddad, mum, dad, bro, and me. During the hymns, we were all singing quietly out of respect for everyone there. But along comes Karen. She takes it upon herself to attempt to sing louder than us. We can all hear her off-key caterwauling. We all shared a look and gradually began to crescendo. Now Karen didn't notice this at first, but as she did, she began to get louder. Perfect, we'd prepared for this exact situation. We'd learned all the hymns, all the harmonies and the descants to them as well. We suddenly burst out, full volume, in four-part harmony. She looked at us in shock, then continued to try and outsing us. Bless her. She didn't stand a chance against three classically trained singers and two ex-church war boys. Suffice to say, it was a fun funeral. Our next post is by Just Chillin' Enoch. When I was much younger, I had a job I hated but needed. It was great for career experience for the job I was studying for. I was working in the warehouse of a very well-known production company. It was a stepping stone into the industry for me. One of my bosses was a complete asshole. Especially to me, because he knew I wouldn't leave, since this job would look great on my resume. One summer I ended up working with him almost daily. It started to take a toll on my mental health. I was constantly either angry or depressed. One Saturday he left early, and I had to run around finishing all the work by myself. He had a really expensive pen on his desk, that was his pride and joy. I took it, and stuck it between my sweaty butt cheeks. It sat there the rest of my shift, while I worked hard getting sweaty and gross finishing the work he had ditched out on. Before I went home, I pulled out the pen, and placed it back in its holder on his desk. It smelled horrible. I started to get nervous about what I did, started to second guess myself, but said fuck it and went home. The next time I was in his office, I noticed the pen was gone. He never said anything to me, but I could always tell he suspected me. I don't think he knew for sure what had happened to his pen exactly. This incident didn't make him nice to me, but I noticed he backed off of me quite a bit and just let me do my job. Our next post is by Pepperfin. My ex-boss was not a good person. He was controlling, egotistical, quick to anger, a womanizer and hated depending on anyone, because that would mean he isn't in control. Boss ran a sports program, which grew from 600 to 1000 over my time working there, and had hired me to run the office and head the children's programs due to my experience working with larger programs in the same sport. Children make up about 80% of the program. Boss thought he was too good to mix with most of his clients or their families. He mixed mainly with the adults, particularly the attractive female ones, and never answered to phone or general emails. So pretty much everyone knew contact Pepper for anything, so one day an email gets sent directly to him addressed to Pepper and Boss. He didn't talk to me for the rest of the day. I tried to talk to him, email him and get answers I needed for his business, and he was ignoring me. I thought I was going mad as he had never done this before, and I'm fairly soft-spoken at work. Did he just not hear me, while I was 5 feet away? The next day I asked him a question and he responded with, "Don't you know? I mean, you're so important that people address emails to you first." I was fuming. Like, you are seriously willing to jeopardize your business and clients, Because of a literal nothing, treating me like crap, all because your ego can't handle it? No. Not going to let that stand. One last thing. Boss is turning 50 soon. I was 26-27 at the time, and he had vaguely come onto me before, gross, but it never went anywhere. I knew he was feeling insecure about getting older, and was questioning, was he still a man, still strong and virile, would he still have it for the ladies? I knew what had to be done. We are talking, and I mention I know his birthday is coming up soon, how old would he be, 50? Wow, a milestone. My mum turned 50 a few years ago, and it was quite an affair. Then I dropped this. The Devastator. You're only a few years younger than her. Huh, I guess that means you're old enough to be my father. He immediately clammed up. He didn't speak to me for the rest of the day, and didn't come in for the next two. Checkmate asterisk asterisk THIS was almost 5-7 years ago. I found the best way to ask innocent questions and slash or act like you're observing out loud without malice, when actually that's what you're doing. Our next post is by Temperature Material. Way back in 2002-2001, I came out of the closet at my very conservative Catholic high school. Very different time, but mostly everyone was cool-ish. Not the quarterback. Always calling me fag, etc. and encouraging his friends to harass me. Non-stop. Only once physically attacked, the school didn't care about any of it naturally. Junior year, we had English together, and were assigned seats next to each other. One day, we had a vocabulary test as wonders in English class. His fellow crony was seated in front of him, and he had conveniently laid out the vocab book on the ground, turned to the page of words on the test. Such a brilliant way to cheat. The quarterback's bitch. You might ask what's a petty, bullied fag to do? I finished my test, 100% thank you, and tattled. Tattled my heart's content. As a good Catholic, and gay, student, it was my duty to uphold and ensure that the Catholic school honor code trademark was not violated. I caused much consternation with my teacher. And I went on my merry way knowing this could jeopardize his football career. Cut to the next day, I ran into the quarterback in the stairwell, alone. He stops to ask me, "Dude, why did you turn me in?" My response, "Don't fuck with me, and I won't fuck with you." I brushed past him, leaving him dumbfounded. He left me alone after that. It was beautiful. Moral of the story, if you fuck with me, I won't actively seek out a way to fuck with you back. But if the opportunity falls in my lap, beware. Our next post is by Fairis. So, the context, this will be a pretty short story, but still a petty revenge. A few time ago, I was working in a small grocery store in a city in France. My shifts were mostly from 8 PM to 11 PM, I was alone in the store from 9 PM. One thing to know, the store isn't that big, but there are cameras everywhere, and nothing can happen in here that won't be recorded, but those cameras are kinda hidden, and hard to spot. So, during one of my shifts, a young man, about 19 or 20, enters the store, and buy a few things. Little did he know, that I've been watching him on the CCTVs, and saw him hiding cans of sodas and food in his backpack, before going to the cashier. I didn't say a thing, but I charged him double for every item he stole. He paid with his card, and didn't even check the amount. This could stop there, I got my revenge on the theft, but the guy came back the week after to do the exact same thing, and I've been charging him double that time again. Same thing the week after. This lasted for a whole month, before he finally noticed what I've been doing. When he asked me why the price was that high, I explained him all that happened this month with a satisfied smile. He became silent, gave a quick apology and left. Never saw that guy again. Our next post is by Cameron James 222. I'm a golf course maintenance guy, my official title is greenskeeper. Greens are my specialty, I mow them every morning. Mowing greens is a slow process for a beginner, but when you get someone like me who's been doing it 4 years on the machine, I'm much faster and more efficient. I was training a new guy on greens, and he was moving pretty slow, but that's fine. Some golfers came up and played through. It started getting crowded, so I was gonna take over, so we could get done, and guess who shows up? Karen. She starts screaming at us, and telling us we need to get off the course and we are worthless poses, yada yada. She says we're not supposed to be out there, when she is playing. Like, is the course yours, crazy lady? So she beat us to the next hole and hit the perfect chip up onto the green, just a few feet from the hole. So I picked up her ball and threw it in the sand trap. She starts yelling again, and saying that's against the rules. I took out a can of white spray paint, and sprayed off the area around the green. I said sorry miss, ground is under repair. According to the PGA rulebook, you'll need to take a stroke on this hole. Have a nice day. Most satisfying thing ever. Our next post is by Sheet Musquina Baking. Long time lurker, first time posting here. I apologize for typos and errors, I'm on mobile. Also, sorry, this is a bit long and amp, #X200B, female law student here. My university organizes this major moot court competition which is part of an international competition. We organize the rounds for all national level contestants, and then the qualifying teams go to the international rounds. It's one of the most esteemed competitions of the world, so the stakes are generally pretty high. I was selected to be the coordinator for the national rounds, because I have worked with the organizing team before, and I have a reputation of being absolutely thorough in my work, and never leaving room for errors or loopholes and amp, #X200B. One thing I realized, when I took charge was, that things have always been done with a bit of a lax attitude, so I revamped the whole structure. I made sure we had proper rules of procedure in place and all instructions were communicated to the teams beforehand so there was never any scope of doubt on our end, and no team could accuse us of foul play, because our university also participates in the competition every year and amp, #X200B, due to COVID, we had to cancel the physical rounds, where the teams would argue before the judges and only accept memorial submissions, where each team send in their written arguments in a prescribed format for each party to the case. The memorials are judged on content, but there are penalties for not adhering to the format. The top scoring teams would go for the international rounds and amp, #X200B, since it was just memorial submissions now, there was a higher burden on us to ensure they were properly checked, and I did exactly that. One of our rules is regarding zero plagiarism, and I had sent the plagiarism guidelines to all the teams, in advance which was also very detailed. We use Turnitin Portal for plagiarism check, so we have a similarity index, where certain things wouldn't be counted as plagiarism, name of the competition, facts of the case, citations, things like that, but we made sure to define what plagiarism is, lifting arguments from sources, and passing them off as your own without citing them, and the penalty for plagiarism is disqualification. We had also internally decided amongst the organizing team, that we wouldn't disqualify any team, because we recognize the amount of hard work that goes into drafting memorials, especially in the middle of a pandemic, when most people don't have access to university libraries and amp. #X200B, this one team had almost 80% plagiarism in all their memorials. Which was way above the acceptable limit, that was covered by our similarity index. I sent them their Turnitin reports, expecting a typical groveling apology with a please don't disqualify us, which I would graciously accept and amp, #X200B. However, this team instead decided to send us an email full of accusations. They claimed that we weren't doing our jobs properly, and that we are relying on softwares when memorial checking requires human intervention and there was laxity in our work. They went on and on about how we are dumb to not realize that the things that are showing up plagiarized are all the things I mentioned above as part of the similarity index. The 80% was apart from all these things, they did not acknowledge that. They cried foul play and warned us to not throw around serious accusations lightly and amp, #X200B, where they messed up was in claiming that I hadn't done my due diligence and threatening me. What they didn't know is that I had personally gone over every single memorial submitted to us, which was close to 100, to ensure that no team tried to dupe us into thinking their memorials were original. As a student, I know exactly all the ways to beat Turnitin. One of the ways is by replacing every fifth word in the paragraph you've copied, which is what the team had done, and amp, #X200B, I went over their memorials, all six of them, again. I cross-checked them with the original sources, and highlighted all the paragraphs, sentences, even citations that were copied, along with highlighting the text and the original source material. This included all the paragraphs where they had replaced the fifth word. In the end, their entire memorials showed up as plagiarized and amp, #X200B. I wrote back to them, attached the highlighted memorials, the highlighted sources documents. I also color coordinated the highlighted texts, and attached a key, so they would be reminded of which part of their memorial was copied from which source. I wrote that they'll find that there is no laxity in our work, and with some human intervention we can always tell when someone has tried to dupe the software. I added that my initial plan was to let them off with a heavy penalty, but that if they did not wish to acknowledge their transgressions, I would have to disqualify them, and inform their university authorities, which would have very serious consequences, and amp, #X200B, I got a reply a little later with a humble apology, and stating that they will accept whatever penalty we would want to impose, and would like to avoid disqualification if possible. Nothing made me happier than seeing that email. There's a whole other joy to using the proper mechanisms to put someone in their place and amp, #X200B, edit, we didn't disqualify them for several reasons. Primarily, yes, because of covered issues, but also because of the type of the work they plagiarized. It's a bit hard to explain without going into full detail, but basically the kind of sources they had plagiarized from fell lower on the plagiarism spectrum, you could say, with the worst being maybe copying someone else's memorial. It doesn't make much sense, because plagiarism is plagiarism, but we had received those standards from the international organizers, so we sort of had to stick to them. Tking a team is a huge decision that we have to confirm with the internal organizers, and they also wanted us to let them off with a penalty. We did inform their university mooting society about the plagiarism and the fact that they got a penalty instead of DQ, but the sad part is that plagiarism isn't really seen as that big a deal in my country outside of academic papers, and is actually really prevalent in mooting culture over here, so even the university didn't really do anything about it. Also, I don't support plagiarism myself, so I will not be publicly sharing any of the hacks for beating Turnitin. I mentioned the fifth word thing, because it's actually not foolproof, and 8 out of 10 times Turnitin ends up catching it too. Our next post is by HorseAround8. I had mixed feelings when I did this revenge, but I don't regret it. Happened over 15 years ago, when I was 15 and my brother was 17. My brother always uses my things without asking, and always tries to deny it, and would be too stubborn to admit it. I use his things, so he gets equally mad, but difference was, I'm a little bigger than him, so what he wears doesn't fit me, and limits to the things, what I can borrow. So the only size that's the same is shoes. We both play basketball, and I bought myself $150 Jordan sneakers, and of course, he always uses it without my permission, and I always see unfamiliar scuffs and all. So my brother has a terrible habit of being late and rush out of the house, so one day, I was doing yard work and I saw him rush to his car. And of course, I saw my sneakers in his hands and he placed it in the trunk. Mind you, he didn't realize I was watching him the whole time. He then realized he forgot something in the house, so he ran back, and I quickly ran to his car, popped the trunk, and took my sneakers back and then hid. I saw him running back out and left. Then later, he came home really upset, and said that he lost his chance at being the starter in our high school basketball team, because he didn't have his sneakers. His coach made him run laps and other types of crazy workouts. I gave him that smug look, and he never owned up that he took it, and realized it was gone. He only said that he forgot his sneakers. I honestly felt bad he lost the chance, but it was really satisfying. Our next post is by Y_T. Last week I went into a steel supplier, to buy some angle iron. I have a small van and need 4 4-foot sections. When I spoke with the sales guy, he said they only sell them 10 feet long. I asked if he could cut them in half for me so they'd fit in my van. He responded with that it'd be a you problem. So I get my 10 foot lengths and I sit in the parking lot cutting them in half with my portable grinder. My only cutting disc gets worn low, so I go back in to purchase another disc. While I'm checking out, he notices I work at the local car wash. He tells me how much he loves my wash and that he's been needing to get over there and wash his truck again. Then he says, "Is there any way I can get a free car wash?" Normally I'd pull one of my $20 gift cards I carry out of my pocket and harass to him and anyone else I see behind the counter. Instead I simply reply that it'd be a you problem. And walk out. Our next post is by Wikwosa. This happened about 15 years ago. I was living with my boyfriend at the time and I quickly learned he was very messy and cleaning was a foreign concept. As an example, I placed the hamper right by where he dressed slash undressed. It took more effort to not put his clothes in the hamper than to put them in, and still he would not do it. I talked with him about it and made rules on who does what to keep our place decent. Of course this still didn't work. One of the rules is alternating who cleans the litter box for our cat. I did it one day, he did it the next. He failed at all of the things we agreed on, and I got frustrated and decided I wouldn't do his part for him. It was okay, but getting quite messy after a week, but the most noticeable item was the litter box. I tried to remind him on things, but never worked out. One day the litter box was just so awful, and I was on the brink of breaking my strike. I asked him again if he could finally clean the litter box. He said he'd do it later. This escalated into an argument because it was just too much. That's when, mid-argument, our cat decided to voice his own revenge. He hopped into my boyfriend's suitcase, left open in the middle of the floor for weeks, not surprisingly, and took a massive dump. The argument came to a halt, the litter box and suitcase were cleaned, and I love that cat more than I ever did that boyfriend. Our next post is by direct_employ. Some background. I have been selling UGIO cards on eBay for about 2 years now, and I have seen a few creative scams. Today, however, I found a complete moron. I woke up this morning to an offer on one of my more expensive cards, $260, for the original asking price, which is kind of weird. The offer also came with a message from the buyer with his phone number, and he said he had a few questions. This is a bit unusual, as he could just private message me the questions on eBay. I didn't think too much of it, and texted his number. He responded up pretty quickly, and said that he had been having issues with eBay and that's why he had to text me. He asked for usual stuff, such as the condition of the card, and 4 pictures of it. I gave him this, and he said he would pay me the asking price, and asked for my PayPal. I had begun to have some suspicions, but this is what really alerted me. I have him the PayPal email, and right after he asked if he could give me $200 extra to add a $200 eBay gift card to his purchase. This is quite a common scam, so I knew how to handle it. I told him that I can't do that. He replied angrily that he was a doctor working in a hospital to fight COVID, and he needed this for a birthday gift, all in broken English, of course. I tried calling his number, just to be sure it was fake, and sure enough, it said that the number was not active. This is where I get my small revenge. I saw that he had made purchases on his account, so he must have some sort of payment method linked to it. I went back to the offer that he made for $260 and accepted it. He is now roped into paying for my card, and won't get his free gift card. Our next post is by HenryFloof29. A few years ago, I was an events manager in a popular Latin American themed cocktail bar, so I've had more than my fair share of Karen interactions. This one takes the taco though. Karen was a nightmare from the beginning, rude, inflexible and a general pain in the butt. She was planning her 40th birthday and nothing I planned or suggested was ever good enough, but I worked hard and put together something that she was eventually happy with. roll on the party, and oh boy, this woman was in full-on Karen mode. She hated the place she'd been put, hated how we'd decorated, there wasn't enough food, blah blah blah. She made two of the waiting staff cry, and was so awful, that the manager told me to take over as I'd backquote dealt with her before. Thanks. The rest of the evening went well, she got good and drunk, and when I said goodbye as I left, she gave me a hug, and did thank you. I thought I'd mailed it. Nope. The next day, I receive an email from Karen formally complaining about everything, and saying how I'd lied to her, she wanted her money back, and compensation etc. I had to grit my teeth and respond, but ended having to escalate to my wonderful area manager as I was so annoyed. Roll on a year, and I'm in a different job. I fall ill with a UTI, which I ignored, until it became a hideous kidney infection. My then BF takes me to the walk-in doctors, but I'm in so much pain, that I get given an appointment for the next morning, so I can go home and sleep. The next morning I show up to my appointment in agony, and get called into the appointment room. To my utter joy, the nurse who is assessing me is none other than Karen. If she recognized me, she hid it well. She went through all the questions then asked me to give a urine sample. I took the tub to the bathroom to fill it up. Being female, it's not easy to aim so the outside of the tub got nice and soggy with my infected urine. The pleasure I had passing her a damp tub of my piss, made me feel better than even the antibiotics did, and it brings a smile to my face even now. Our next post is by Young Marie. I posted this on Twitter, but was told it fits better here. Just a little background, I'm 22F, the middle sister of an older 26F, and younger, 15F, sister. My big sister always had narcissistic traits about her, even as kids. She is the type of person that always feels the need to boss others around, and will tell you how things are gonna happen, and tells you that there's nothing you're gonna do about it. I purchased a new bed and my old one was taken back to my parents' house in my old room. My mom was excited that I brought back the old bed and told me, now when you come to visit, you'll have your old bed to sleep on instead of the couch. My dad is a truck driver and was back in our hometown, so big sister, let's call her P, and I came down to see him as we both live away from home. When I got home, P was already there and told me that she calls dibs on the bed. I told her there's no way she thought she could call dibs on a bed that belongs to me. She said it's not your bed anymore dear, you threw it away when you got a new bed, remember? And I said, if it was thrown away then it would be in the trash, not in my old room. She literally says, oh well, sleep on the couch, cause I'm sleeping on the bed. And it honestly just pissed me off, cause that's honestly how she's always talked to me. Even as adults, she still talks, treats, and dismisses me, like I'm just some 8-year-old kid who's stomping their feet. I didn't tell my mom, because she is an enabler. Every time I've gotten her involved in similar situations, it was always just let P have it, or just let P do it. Next time I won't let her. I don't like to get her involved, because she doesn't do anything. It's easier to just let P have her way than to fight her about it. We ate dinner, and played cards, and talked for a few hours during that dinner. The anger of her always getting her way just boiled inside me, and I just felt so frustrated. I decided I would go home that night and sleep in my own bed, cause I didn't want to be anywhere near her. But I was still mad, because me driving 25 minutes to my apartment makes her win. She's so used to me always rolling over and letting her win, and I hated the thought of her sleeping so snug in my bed, thinking she won. So before I gathered my things to leave, I took a venti Starbucks cup full of water, went into my old room, peeled back the sheets, and I dumped water all throughout the bed. I soaked every single sheet, except the comforter, so she wouldn't notice till it was time to get in the bed. Fast forward about an hour, after I got home, my mom calls, and she's shocked that I did something like that. Turns out they had to put the mattress outside cause the mattress got wet. And their dryer was broken, so they couldn't just throw the sheets in the dryer. Needless to say, P couldn't sleep on the bed. My dad said what I did was evil. He said, "You really soaked that bed, just soap he couldn't sleep in it tonight," and I simply answered, "Yep." They scolded me, and said that was very rude and unfair, and I told them what's unfair is her telling me she's gonna sleep in my bed, tell me to sleep on the couch, especially when she lives 5 minutes away, and cold easily gone to her own bed instead of feeling entitled to take mine. She will be just fine on the couch. Our last post is by PokeChampMarks. My first post here. Be nice. This story is not mine but my father's. So many years ago in the early 2000s my family had just moved into a new subdivision. Things were for the most part good. However, there was one very unpleasant presence in the neighborhood. A very petty single woman who lived next door turned out to be a huge Karen. The kind of Karen that feeds off of bylaw like a vampire. If there was even the smallest disturbance you would hear from her through bylaw. Mowing the lawn to early slash late, bylaw. Having a BBQ, bylaw. Kids playing too loud in their own backyard, you guessed it, bylaw. After many visits from the officers at her hand, my father was at his breaking point. He was going to get her back. However, it had to be a way that bylaw could not do anything about so that she could not retaliate. So my father looked through all the local bylaws to see if there was anything he could use to his advantage. He found just what he needed. Now at this point it is important to make it known that this story takes place in Canada. My father found a loophole in the noise bylaws. There was to be no noise above a certain level on weekends before the hour of 9 a.m, with exception of snowblowers, again because we live in Canada. What the bylaw forgot to say was A. how long the snowblower could run for before being a problem and B. what time of the year it needed to be. It was currently July. Summer for use. So my father had his plan and waited to set it into motion. Come the next weekend, my father got up nice and early, had his breakfast, and then filled the snowblower's gas tank all the way up. He then moved it to the every edge of his property line just across from Karen's bedroom. The time was 6 a.m. So he flipped on the snowblower and let it run from full to empty. Right by Karen's bedroom. It took 3 hours for the tank to empty. Karen was not impressed. However, you know who did get a kick out of it? The responding bylaw officers. After my father explained his story, they had a good laugh and asked him politely to not do it again, and then went on their way. Luckily, it never needed to be done again. Karen got the message and there were no more calls to bylaw for the remainder of the time she lived there. That's it for Edit Reddit. I hope you enjoyed. Please leave a good rating, as that really helps me out.